Those who deny the truth of Christianity often assert that Christianity is just a myth. They don't deny that Jesus of Nazareth really existed or even that he was crucified, which are absurd claims that no serious historian holds. Rather, they believe that the Gospels are like tall tales, the mythical elements of which grew over time, like, for example, Jesus' resurrection from the dead. Well, is Christianity, and particularly its central claim that Jesus rose from the dead, just a myth? Or is Christianity the real deal? I'm Dr. David Heiduck, and here's my take.
Ave Maria Mutual Funds, seeking the moral high ground for 20 years. Pro-life, pro-family, and Catholic values have guided us to the top.
And don't forget to like, follow, share, and subscribe to this podcast and give us a 5-star rating. Now, back to the topic. What is the basis of the view that Christianity, and especially Jesus' resurrection from the dead, is just a myth? Well, it all comes down to the way these folks look at sacred scripture. Not only do they obviously not see the scriptures as the word of God, inspired by the Holy Spirit who guided the sacred authors to write down those things and only those things he wanted, but rather as a merely human construction, they also tend to accept contemporary theories about the Gospels themselves as irrefutable facts. For example, they tend to accept the rather modern idea that the Gospel of St. Mark is the oldest of the four canonical Gospels. Canonical means it was accepted by the church as authentic and divinely inspired. They say that Mark's gospel has a low Christology, emphasizing Jesus' humanity. They even say that Jesus' preferred title for himself is the Son of Man, and that the original version of this gospel ended with the empty tomb and didn't have any resurrection narratives. Then these folks propose that the Gospels that came later, in their view, those of St. Matthew and then St. Luke, contained slightly higher but still low Christology because they were based on Mark's Gospel, but that they added more resurrection stories. Finally, they claim that the last of the canonical Gospels to be written, that of St. John, contains a high Christology emphasizing Jesus' divinity. Jesus even refers to himself as I am, the proper name of God. And they also say that John's gospel has the most resurrection stories and a call to faith despite not seeing Jesus. I have a few things to say about this. First, it is a modern hypothesis that St. Mark's gospel is the oldest. That idea didn't become popular until the 19th century. And at that, among liberally minded Protestant scholars, Catholic tradition has always held that Matthew's is the oldest gospel, dated much sooner, likely an original Hebrew version composed in the 50s, and not a Greek version from the 80s. If this traditional view is true, this on its own would destroy the reasoning behind the claim these people are making about growing mythical elements in the gospels. They accept what is called the two-source hypothesis as an indisputable fact, which, by the way, it isn't an indisputable fact. The church held a different position for over 1,500 years. Second, the idea that Mark has a so-called newer ending, which was later and an add-on to the original version, is a much misunderstood thing. Yes, the oldest manuscript we have of Mark's gospel ends with the fear and trembling of the women at the tomb. However, there are many ways to explain this. For example, perhaps Mark had to stop writing suddenly or never intended his gospel to be a completed and polished version. His Greek is actually a little rough too and could have used some proofreading. Or perhaps the original ending was lost. the version of Mark's gospel that was always considered canonical by the church and reaffirmed at the Council of Trent is the one we find in the Bible with the resurrection narratives. But as an aside, we shouldn't be put off if there were many hands involved in the construction of the biblical books. For those who are part of Mark's community, which was actually Peter's community, or Matthew's or John's for that matter, would have written down the gospel they heard these apostles preach. Now, it is important to note that added later would still mean earlier than the Greek versions of Matthew and Luke get dated, which is within 20 years. All the gospels are written within the lifespan of the eyewitnesses, so early is, in a way, an irrelevant concern. Whatever the case is with the so-called longer ending in Mark's gospel, there is plenty in the earliest manuscripts to indicate that the resurrection of Jesus was clearly held and proclaimed by the apostles. So, once again, we find that the claims of those who hold that the mythical elements of the gospels grew in time to be on shaky ground. Before I continue, here's another word about our sponsors.
Ave Maria Mutual Funds are actively managed with contrarian thinking. Their independent research and analysis provide a deep understanding of our investments with the intent to avoid or minimize unpleasant surprises. This helps to ensure that their funds' investments match your moral beliefs. The advisor invests in securities only if they meet the fund's investment and religious requirements, and as such, the return may be lower or higher than if the advisor made decisions solely based on investment considerations. The fund's method of security selection may or may not be successful, and the fund may underperform or outperform the stock market as a whole. All mutual funds are subject to market risk, including possible loss of principal. For a prospectus, which includes objectives, risks, fees, charges, expenses, and other information that you should read and consider carefully before investing, call 1-866-AVE-MARIA. That's 1-866-283-6274. Or visit the link above or below in the description. Once again, thanks for joining us for this episode of A Reason for Hope podcast. Your support helps us carry on the mission of evangelizing to the culture through high-quality media and events. If you've been enjoying our content, we ask you to prayerfully consider becoming a partner with us in this mission. You can do that by clicking the link above or below in the description, which will take you right to our donation page. There, you can choose to make a one-time or a monthly donation. By selecting podcasts in your Apply Your Donation Towards drop-down menu, you can be assured that this gift will go directly to the production of this podcast. We thank you in advance for your generosity. Now back to our episode.
Now, a third point I would like to make is that the church held the belief in the bodily resurrection of Jesus well before the Gospels were written down, which is seen in the earliest creeds as well as in the letters of St. Paul. That is to say, it was already part of the church's proclamation. St. Paul testifies to Jesus appearing to him personally on the road to Damascus and afterwards to teach him the gospel, as well as appearing to James and to some 500 believers at one time. How do you explain Paul changing in an instant from being the greatest persecutor of Christianity to its greatest evangelist? Remember, Paul was so feared and his conversion so sudden that it took a while for people to trust him and believe his conversion to be authentic. Is Paul a big fake? What about the 500? Did 500 people have a corporate hallucination? These explanations seem very implausible to me. Fourth, the idea that Luke had more resurrection narratives doesn't necessarily mean that the mythical elements had grown, but could be that Luke had gathered more information. He alludes to the fact that he consulted broadly for accuracy in his intro to Theophilus. He had information about Jesus' conception and infancy no one else had too. And Luke's post-resurrection appearances are very vivid and historically rooted, as is his whole gospel. He is keen to give dates and times, though he does this by indicating who was ruling where and what was happening in the world. The fact is, Luke's attempt to historically situate the gospel is not how myths work in antiquity. and is a major blow to those classifying the Gospels as myths. Fifth, if the evangelists wanted to prove the resurrection of Jesus by making up a story, they wouldn't have had the first witnesses be women, who were not even allowed to testify in court at that time. This, too, points to an attempt to retell the historical facts and not to construct a myth or fake news for the purposes of furthering a conspiracy theory. And interestingly, the Gospels seem to indicate that the real conspiracy theory comes from the Jewish leaders who paid the Roman guards to lie and say the apostles stole the body when they knew Jesus really had been raised. Of course, throw in that every apostle died a horribly torturous death rather than to deny that Jesus rose. Even John was boiled in oil. And you've got some added credibility there. And what did the apostles have to gain by dying for a relatively unknown rabbi and a message that to most seemed either silly or scandalous? It is important to state clearly that those who hold the view that the Gospels and the resurrection are myths must conclude that either the apostles were delusional or deceivers, scoundrels, not saints. But there is a bigger issue at work in all of this. Why did we believe that the differences among the Gospels weren't contradictions for almost 2,000 years, but new scholars, further from the historical events, mind you, have finally cracked the code and proposed such differences as a kind of death blow to Christianity? To me, it is an anti-tradition bias, similar to the 1960s don't trust anyone over 30 mindset. Ours is an age that is prejudiced against anything that came before, and one that holds any traditional ideas in suspicion. But perhaps there are good reasons to believe what has always been believed. And perhaps those who consider themselves so enlightened aren't as bright as they think they are. Well, that's my take. If you have a topic you'd like my take on, comment below or send an email to r4hpodcast@gmail.com. Come back next time when we will tackle a new issue. Until then, run the race, fight the good fight, and keep the faith.